Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Amen, amen, amen. I just want to remind you guys that this is the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We're not only concerned about what goes on in our land, we're concerned for believers all over the world. And we have a great time praying and believing God for things. You know, even our world prayer teams that meet in between church services, oftentimes they'll pull up a newspaper and they'll say, all right, guys, this is what we're praying for this week, you know? And then there's other times that they pull up the newspaper and they say, hey, look, praise God, God answered our prayers. And we can see how powerful and how mighty our God is. So, man, if you ever wonder, why is Pastor Dan praying for the peace of Jerusalem? You know, here's the reason why. The Bible says to, number one. Number two, that's the apple of God's eye, and if he has a heart for it, I should have a heart for it. And number three, we're believing God for great things to happen all over the world. And Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem. Did you know that? That's why we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, is so that we can wrap this thing up and believe God for what he's doing in our times and in our seasons, all right? And as we get into Romans chapter number 9, we're going to talk a whole lot more about that. So I'll just wait, for another year. No, I'm kidding. But anyways, God's good. I got a message for you today called, Should Christians Sin? Let me ask you the question. You can answer, all right? Should Christians sin?
No.
No, we shouldn't, right? But we still do. So it begs the question, doesn't it? And today, as you're getting your Bibles out, we have a monumental day ahead of us, because today I'm so happy to announce to you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Thank you for the people that are paying attention. 6. I mean, we've been in Romans for over a year now. Started in chapter 1 and verse 1, and we've just gone line upon line, precept upon precept. So far, we found out something, that there's some good news, isn't there? And that good news is the gospel, that Jesus Christ came and he died for our sins. But in order to fully understand the good news, we need to understand the bad news. The bad news is that everybody is sinful. We all need a savior. Didn't matter if you were moral, if you thought you were good, if you were legalistic or religious, even if you were just doing your own thing and following the dictates of your heart and you were morally bankrupt, guess what? There's good news that even though we're all in the same boat, that we're all sinners, that we needed a savior, and that Jesus came and died for us. And that now he offers freely this gift of righteousness, this gift of grace to all who will believe. And in Romans chapter 5, we found out that from Adam we got this sin nature, but from Jesus we got this righteousness, this right position with God, so that we could have the right practice with God. We've been justified. It's just as if we'd never sinned. And the gavel of heaven has come down, declaring a verdict over our life, not guilty, but also righteous. And we can live in that righteous position and practice with God by the grace that God gives, his ability and his power on our behalf. But it's almost like in chapter 5, verse number 20, when he says that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, that all of a sudden it brings up a question. And we find this question in Romans chapter number 6, starting in verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I'm so glad that verse number 2 comes along and answers the question immediately. Look at those first two words. He says, certainly not. That's nonsensical. Of course, we should not continue in sin that grace may abound. But the question still begged to be asked. But here he asks another question in verse number 2. He says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Growing up, I always enjoyed Sunday mornings because we got the Sunday paper that was delivered to the house. And before church, I'd run outside and I'd go and I'd grab that big old, you know, Sundays was always the thickest one. It was always the biggest one. It had the ads in it and extra stuff that was in there. And so, but I wasn't looking for ads. I wasn't looking for columns. I wasn't looking for news or opinions. I was looking for one section of that paper. How many of you know what I was looking for? I was looking for the funny pages. Anybody enjoy the comic strips and all that kind of, oh, a bunch of you guys, look at that. And there was one that I particularly enjoyed because I identified with it, and that was this little guy, Calvin, and his little tiger, Hobbes. You remember Calvin and Hobbes? I had all the books. My kids started reading the books. So fun. This guy had such an imagination. Most of the time you see him peeing on something now in the back of somebody's big truck, but he was so funny. He had this great big imagination, and even though he drove his parents nuts, I mean, it was just awesome to see what was going to happen. I remember one comic strip in particular where he was carefully building a little city out of boxes, painting them, putting paper over them, windows and doors and all this kind of stuff, built up this little city, and you're kind of wondering, what is he doing? Where's this going? And he carefully puts it all together and arranges it kind of like a downtown area. Next thing you know, on the very last page, here he is as like Godzilla stomping through, just breaking down everything. Bam, you know, crushing stuff. I just thought, man, that's so awesome. He built all that just to break it down. I had an experience similar to this when I took my kids to the beach one time, and I remember I had this dad list on the inside of me. There's a checklist, like, okay, I'm going to teach them how to tie their shoes. I'm going to be the dad to teach them to brush their teeth. I'm going to make sure. The last one that I had on my list I accomplished not too long ago, I'm going to take them to the Grand Canyon. I remember stepping up to the Grand Canyon, and on the inside of me, the list just kind of got checked off, and I was like, all right, done, kids. I'll see you later. Hopefully you do well in life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm out. I'm kidding, of course. But one of those things on the dad list on the inside of me was I want to build a sandcastle with my kids. And so I remember we went to the beach and I had one of those forms. You know what I mean? It had the turret. It was round. And so I was building. I was going to build four turrets, and then I was going to build by hand the little sections in between. And we're going to put the, you know, all the little shells. And if we could find a feather or something as a flag. And so we put some seaweed and a moat and all that kind of stuff. So here I am building sandcastles with my kids. And I remember I put the form down and I carefully picked it up. And my son, he was so happy. He came right up to it, and he just stomped it. And I went, what are you doing? But we're building a sandcastle. So I did it again, you know, and I put it, and I picked it up, and he ran. Boom, and he stomped it. After a while, I figured out the game. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, okay, we're not building sandcastles. We're breaking down sandcastles. So I just started building them in a line. Fast as I could put them up, man, he's bam, 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 just stomping them down, having a good old time. I get the picture of the Apostle Paul here in the book of Romans. He keeps bringing things up to break them down. And here's a question that he asks. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Here he builds up this understanding for all of us, but then all of a sudden he takes out his foot and he stomps it down. And what does he say? Certainly not. There's no reason for us to continue in sin. And yet, the question begged to be asked, because there are people who reportedly said that the Apostle Paul was preaching grace, and not just grace, greasy grace. That it doesn't matter what you do, you can sin and God will forgive you. And while that's a true statement, it's not the full message. And so he breaks down that argument that he builds up, because he recognizes that his statement in chapter 5 and verse number 20, that where sin did abound, grace also much more abounded, that some might take advantage of grace and abuse its freedom. And after all, is sin equals more grace? Then should I sin more so that God can pour out more grace on me? It's a reasonable thought, isn't it? Like, okay, sin abounds, grace abounds more. So the more I sin, the more grace abounds. Yes. Well, then I'll just go ahead and sin more so that grace can abound more. No. That's not what we're saying. So he builds up the argument to break it back down. Or maybe the question arose from critics that wanted to hold to the law, and they couldn't fathom the grace gift that couldn't be earned. They thought this type of grace teaching would lead to moral irresponsibility, and cynically they would say something like this: what then, Paul? Should we sin more to get more grace? Is that what you're saying? But in either case, the answer is clear. By no means. Certainly not. Or how many of you got the old King James Version in the building today? The OG KJV, right? What does it say? It says, God forbid. I love that. God forbid that we should sin, that grace would abound all the more. Because these arguments hold no weight, and he brings them up to show their failure. Because even though grace is greater than sin, it doesn't give believers a license to sin. We go from sin to salvation and then on to sanctification. We don't go from sin to salvation and then back to sin. No. We need forward progress in our life, not backward. We've got to keep moving forward with God. God takes us from sin to salvation to sanctification. What is that? That's the process of being set apart to God. That's the process of becoming more and more holy in your lifestyle and in your walk with God. What does that look like? It means cleaning up your act. Doesn't mean that you dive into sin because there's more grace available for you. No, it means that you clean up your life by the power of the grace that God gave you, and you live the righteousness of God that he desires for you. Grace only reigns through righteousness. It cannot reign through sinful deeds and actions in our life. No, it can reign over those things. It can reign above those things. It can abound towards us in those things, but it's not going to be carried out through those things. You understand? Grace can only reign in righteousness. Charles Ryrie shouts from the biblical commentary of the study Bible named after him, grace cannot be exploited for evil ends. We cannot misuse or misappropriate the grace of God. We've got to use it the way that God wants us to use it and desires for us to use it. And it's not an excuse to sin. No, it's our way out of sin. Are you listening? God desires that we should rise above these things. And so he builds up this argument just to break it down. And the first blow of the argument that Paul gives us is this, that we shouldn't sin because we're dead to it. We should not sin. Why? Because you're dead to it. Now, people think of death as extinction, that it's just a ceasing to exist, but that's not what death is, right? If someone dies, their body stops functioning the way that it did. But your spirit and your soul live on. Did you know that you're an eternal being? And your physical body, while limited to this time and space and reality, even though it's passing in its present form, that your spirit is going to live on. Someday we'll get a new body. For those that are in Christ, we're going to get a resurrection body. And we're going to be like Jesus. It's an amazing thought. Mine's going to have abs. You know what I'm saying? No more dad bod. We're moving on from that. Praise the Lord. Some of you guys are like, I'm getting hair, Pastor. But here's the deal. When you die, physical death is not the end. Your spirit man lives on, but it's separated from the body. Death is separation. That's what it is. Think about spiritual death, right? We used to be dead in our sins, but we were still walking around. Our physical body was alive. So what did that mean? That means that our spirit man was separated from the life of God. What did God say to Adam and Eve? The day you eat of it, you shall surely do what? Die. They were separated from God. Even though they were in the garden where they used to experience fellowship and communion with God and union with God, they were one with him, walking with him in the garden. Now all of a sudden they're hiding from his presence. They're separated from God. God comes on the scene and he asks, where are you? Not that God didn't know where they were. God knew exactly where they were. He wasn't asking that question for his own benefit. He was asking it for our benefit. Where are you? You're no longer connected. Do you realize that you've been separated from the life of God by sin? You are now dead in your sin. You know, the Bible talks about a second death. Did you know that? In the New Testament, we find out that there is a second death. What does that mean? It means that we are eternally separated from God. See, we can be dead in sin, but when we get saved, we become reconnected with the life of God. We're no longer dead. Now we're alive in Christ. But if you never believe on the Lord for your salvation, then you're separated from God. And there comes a time where the judgment seat of Christ will be set up. And Jesus Christ will judge the living and the dead. And he'll separate the sheep and the goats. And to those that believed on him, he'll send into his joy and into eternal reward. But to those that rejected him, there is a second death, a second separation, where now they are eternally separated from God. And we call that what? Hell. It's a place of eternal torment. Eternal separation from God, where there's darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. So we need to understand what death is. That means that when the Apostle Paul says something to us about sin, and he says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, no, certainly not. Why? Why should we continue in sin since we died to it? What does that statement tell us? It means that you have now been separated from the power and the authority of sin. Someone ought to get excited over that. Maybe you don't understand the implications of what was just said, because some of you thought, I'm living in sin for the rest of my life. No, no, no. Listen, you have died to sin. Therefore, you no longer live in it any longer. Now, the sin that once held you, the sin that once ruled over you, the sin that once made you captive to do its will, you have been separated from the power and the authority and the dominion that it once had. You are now dead to sin. You're now dead to sin. I love what commentator Mount said. He said this. He said, Christ's death for sin becomes our death to sin. See, Christ died for our sin. He was righteous. He was sinless. He was spotless and perfect, but he still died for our sin. And Christ's death for sin becomes our death to sin. Now, all of a sudden, we are separated from sin's power. See, we shouldn't sin because we're dead to it, and death changes our relationship to sin. I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 16 in the New Living Translation. It says this, for you are free. Notice that. You died to sin, now you're free from its rule, its authority, its power. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. He points out you're now connected to God. Now you're under God's authority, God's power, and God's dominion. You're free, yet you're God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Now that you've been free, don't go back to your sin. Don't return to the way that you once were. You know, that's one of the biggest hindrances to people becoming Christians, because they look at the life of Christians, they say, there's no difference between me and you. Why do I need to change if there's no change? If you do the same things I do, I don't need Jesus. I can do bad all by myself. And so it's the biggest hindrance, and yet we shouldn't sin because we're dead to it. And death changes our relationship to sin. You know, these past weeks, we've been very vocal about this in these pulpits, that it's been a tough couple of weeks. Man, there's been a lot of death in this church, a lot of death in family members and things like that. I personally have been a part of two of the funeral services. And, you know, it's interesting when you go to a funeral, oftentimes they'll have a casket out in front and it'll be open, and there'll be a line of people waiting to come by, and they want to pay their last respects, if you will. Some people want to just come up and say some last words. Maybe they say, goodbye, friend. Maybe they say, see you later. You know, they might say, thank you. Those types of things. And then they'll go on, and eventually they'll close that casket and they'll put that casket there in the earth. And at times people will go and visit a gravesite. You know, maybe once a year on an anniversary or a birthday celebration or something like that, they'll go back and they might say, hey, you know what? You'd be so proud of your son, or you should have seen what happened at the Little League ball game. It was amazing. They might have some conversations and things like that. Now, listen, I don't know if the people in heaven can hear what we're saying. I do know the Bible says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, right? Maybe they can. Maybe they can. Maybe they can see the activities on the earth. I don't know what that really looks like or how that operates. But, you know, we all understand, don't we, that when we speak in those terms, that really it's for us more than it is for them. You understand? If you're at a graveside talking about those things, really what you're doing is you're consoling your own heart. And you're connecting to what once was. But think about it in these terms. What if somebody tried to treat that dead person the way that they did before that they died? We'd say, you're sick. What are you doing? Like, you're setting a place at the table, you've got a meal for them, you're bringing them a drink, you know? That sounds like that old movie that I do not recommend, okay? So don't say, Pastor Dan, say, go watch this movie. Don't go watch the movie. But there was a movie back in the day called Weekend at Bernie's. Anybody remember that? Where they're carting a dead guy around, making him wave at people and trying to act like he's alive so that no one knows that he's dead. And they're carting him around and they got him over their shoulders and all that kind of stuff. And see, we would say, you're sick. What are you doing carrying around a dead body? That's wrong. You shouldn't do that. See, that's what the Apostle Paul gives us a picture of. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? That's wrong. You've got to change the relationship with sin. Got to change the relationship because you died. You no longer act like that. Let's bring it to where we live, right? You ever heard someone say this? Maybe you saw a movie or someone actually said this to you. It'd probably be pretty bad if they said it to you, but what do they say? They say, you're dead to me. That's a pretty serious statement, isn't it? Why? Because what are they saying? They're saying, even though you're alive, you're out there living your life, you're doing your thing, I know you're out there. I know what you're doing, but I don't want to have any part of it. I'm breaking the relationship and I'm going to act like you're not alive. I'm changing this relationship right now. But remember in our text, it didn't say that we're to tell sin, you're dead to me. He says, we're dead to sin. That's a different dynamic, isn't it? What does that look like? Well, again, let's put it in our terms. You ever heard this? Lose my number. Oh, see, you're laughing because some of you said that to somebody, right? You realize this relationship is toxic. I don't like you anymore. I'm not doing what you're doing any longer. Every time we get around each other is bad. And listen, I don't want to be involved in that type of a lifestyle any longer. I don't want you in my life, so lose my number. Could it be that we have not yet got a picture of our relationship with sin, that it's changed? We died to sin. So sin, sayonara. Sin, I'm not going to see you later. Sin, lose my number, because if you call, I'm going to block you. If you send an image, oh my goodness, I'm going to delete it. If you send flowers, I'm going to stomp them and throw them in the trash. I'm not accepting your candy on Thanksgiving. I'm not accepting anything from you. I don't want a pie. I don't want nothing. Listen, lose my number, lose my address, and forget I was ever in your life, because I'm dead to you. We're gone. We're done. That's the picture that we get. How can we who have died to sin live in it any longer? We should not continue in sin. It means we got to live like a changed person. See, it's time for us as Christians to change our relationship with sin. You don't have to do what it tells you to do. Pastor, you don't understand my desires. It was burning passion on the inside of me. Die! Die to it! Dead people don't respond. You can hold a gun to a guy in a casket and he's not gonna flinch. He ain't moving out the way. He's not gonna smack it out of your hand. He's gonna sit there. So when sin comes knocking, don't answer the door. When sin comes calling, don't respond. We got to change our relationship with sin. You don't have to do what it tells you to do. Break up with it. Time to break up with your sin. Have the conversation. We're done here. I'm dead to you. Lose my number. Forsake it. Ignore its advances. Act dead. It worked for the possum, didn't it? Act dead. You know, there's a movie. Do we got any nerds in the place? Okay, I see these people. All right. My wife would tell you I'm one of you. It's okay. That's all right. She's got her things. But here's the deal. Let me ask you a different question, all right? How many of you like the movie series, The Lord of the Rings? Okay, a bunch more people do. And my wife, who says she's not a nerd, says, well, I like that. Okay, nerd. All right. But we really like those series. We love the action in them. We love, you know, a good, man, like swords and horses. And I mean, just chopping heads off and all. I mean, we don't like that. But, I mean, they're orcs. They're bad, right? They're like demons, right? Just whoosh, get them. Love that stuff, right? We love the good and evil coming against each other and the ultimate triumph of good over evil. Love the biblical allusions, the different things that are all woven into those movies. Beautiful depictions of Jesus Christ as the returning king, the ruling, reigning one. And the struggle that we have while we're here on the earth. It's an amazing series, and there's a character in there that everybody seems to love. His name is Gollum. Gollum had the ring of power at one time. And Gollum goes after this thing at any cost. To his own peril, he'll go after this ring, and he pets it, and he says it's his precious, right? He broods over it, and when he loses the ring, it's his lifelong goal to get it back. Because he had something at one time that he felt powerful in, and now it's brought him to this place where he's emaciated. He has no hair and no teeth. He's running around. And Sam and Frodo, the main character who are carrying the ring, capture Gollum at one point. And they're making him take them to go and show them how they can destroy the ring in a certain place. And on that journey, Gollum is just rude to them. He's mean to them. He's evil. And he's just doing what they're saying to do because they've got him tied up. But there comes a point where they're good to Gollum, where they're kind to him and where they take care of his needs. And he starts to remember back before he found the ring. He starts to remember who he was. Remembers that he wasn't always Gollum. That's what his cough sounded like. And that's what they started to call him after a while because he kept coughing and that was what the sound was made. But he really had another name as a hobbit. He was Sméagol. And Sméagol was kind-hearted. Sméagol was a good man. Sméagol loved others. And it was this powerful ring that turned his heart and changed him. And so all of a sudden he starts to recognize and remember who he is, and he starts to see that, hey, I can contribute, I can help out, and these guys like me and they're not against me. And there's a moment where he starts to have a conversation with himself, and Sméagol and Gollum, his two personalities, are coming out, and they brilliantly, you know, pit them against each other, and they're having this conversation going back and forth, and Sméagol is saying, but my master loves me, and he's taking care of me, and he wouldn't do me any harm, and Gollum's saying, no, he's bad, you need to take him out, he's got the ring, he's got the precious, you need to go and get it. And he says, no, I'm going to let him do what he needs to do, I'm going to help him. They appreciate me, and he says, they don't appreciate you, you're not worth any of that. He says, no, I am worth it. I'm good. And then all of a sudden, Gollum starts to remind him of his past. Do you remember what you did to get that ring? Do you remember who you murdered? Do you remember all the dark things that you've done? You can't come back from that. That's who you really are. And all of a sudden, Sméagol has a moment of clarity, and he looks up and he says, leave and never return. See, we need to break up with our sin. We need to change the relationship. We need to get angry. We need to get mad at our sin. We need to leave it. We need to forsake it. We need to hate what God hates and love what God loves. And we need to have a breakup where we tell our sin to leave and never return. Now, I wish in the movie series I could say that for the rest of the series he was good, but something happened where he took on an offense. And all of a sudden his heart was drawn back to Gollum and the wrong way. See, it's so easy for us to fall into the wrong things. It can take an offense. It can take us out. Sometimes people see the hypocrisy in church, which it's here. Listen, can we all be real? It's here in church. It's out there in the world. But the moment people step into a church, people expect it to be perfect. But you got people here, imperfect people. It's not going to be a perfect place. People are going to say things that are inconsistent with who they are as Christians. People are going to have moments of weakness. Listen, guys, Pastor Dan struggles with sin. I fight with it. I try and overcome it. And there's times where I make the right decisions, times I make the wrong decisions. Okay? And if you ever hear about me in sin, don't let that take you out. Don't let offenses take you out. Maybe you say hi to me and I'm on business mode, I'm on work mode. I'm like, what's up? And I just move on with my life. Pastor Dan, how dare he? How could he? I'm leaving this church. You know what? If they're going to treat me like that, you know what? I had a seat and somebody sat in my seat. How dare they sit? Don't they know that that's my seat? Seventh row, seventh seat over. That's God's number. God spoke that to me. That's my seat. And how dare they sit in my seat? And we get offended and upset over the weirdest, craziest things at times. The usher was rude to me. He told me to sit down when I was walking around during the altar call. How dare they? How could they? A kid bit my kid over there in the children's ministry. I'm leaving this church. They don't know how to take care of kids. They're kids. Some kids bite. I know because some of my kids bit. I had to bite them back and say, how do you like it? And they said, I don't like that. You didn't parent like that? That's why your kids kept biting. People are going to do the wrong things. People are sinful, and if we allow offenses to root inside of us, we'll end up taking out. Listen, follow me as I follow Christ. If I don't follow Christ, don't follow me. Keep following Jesus. Don't let it take you out. Don't let disappointments take you back to sinful places. Don't allow those hurts and those pains, those disappointments to drag you down into despair and despondency. Well, you start doing the wrong things. Well, I guess I'm hopeless. I guess this is just how it is. Man, I'm so disappointed. How could they reject me like that? I guess I'm going to go back. Don't go back. You've got to make a clean break. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 in the New Living Translation says this. It says, for you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. You have now been freed from sin. You died to sin. Now you're free from its power. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Too many people are living in sin, and by in, I don't mean that they mess up. I don't mean that they miss the mark. I don't mean that they struggle. I don't even mean that they blew it big time. You know, sometimes we find ourselves and we blow it big time, right? Go out with the boys and you find yourself drunk. Oh man, I blew it big time. That's not what I'm talking about, because that's sin. Don't get me wrong. That's missing the mark. What do you do when you find yourself in that place? You repent. You turn from your way. You have a change of heart and mind, and you turn 180 degrees and you go God's way. You confess it to God. You confess it to the people in your life that you need to. You make the restoration that you need to. If that's the case, if you punch them in the face, go tell them I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Make it right. Do what you got to do. But you confess it first and foremost to God. And you say, God, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. I'm turning from my way. And then fight it. Don't go back. That's what you do. I'm not talking about that. What am I talking about? Living in sin. There are people who call themselves Christians who willingly stay in unrepentant sin, and they think it's okay. And it is not okay. They have this flippant attitude that this is the way it is now. We've moved on from that archaic understanding of biblical times and seasons. I believe the Bible is real. I believe God is true. But I don't believe that what God said about our human sexuality is the way that it should be. Times have moved on from that now. And now we can sleep with whoever we want to sleep with. We can do whatever we want to do. We can smoke whatever we want to smoke. Listen, God made it. It's on the earth. Didn't he want us to enjoy it? I can smoke it. Hey, listen, our society made it legal. It's okay. It's not bad. And you're in unrepentant sin. And you're making excuses, and you're using your freedom as a cloak for vice. Well, where does it say in the Bible? How about the works of the flesh are evident? Drunkenness and revelries, orgies, fornication and adultery, fits of rage, outbursts of wrath. The Bible says we're to be sober-minded. So when you're and you're out of your mind, it's funny. Out there in the world, they got a saying, buzz driving is drunk driving. I didn't get drunk. I just got a little buzzed. Okay, bruh. Why don't you take that to God and see what he thinks about it? It's all right, Pastor. It's art. It's okay, Pastor. It's just a movie. It's funny. Oh, I was just joshing with him. It's just a joke, right? Like a madman throwing firebrands, flaming arrows, and death is he who deceived his neighbor by saying, I was only joking. Do not let any unclean communication proceed forth from your lips, but only that which is for necessary edification. Don't break people down with your words. Build people up with it. See, people are living in unrepentant sin, and they're unwillful to repent and turn God. People are living in sin. See, we got to live like a changed person and leave the sin behind. Got to leave it behind. Don't even give it a kiss goodbye. Don't even leave it a Dear John note. Just get out and stay out. Leave the sin behind. Interesting, there's a thing called Stockholm Syndrome. It comes from the city of Stockholm. And there were people that were involved in a bank robbery. Four people were taken hostage for about 6 days, I believe. While they were there, they were deprived of basic life necessities. It was very abusive. It was very tense. But in that situation, the people started to respond to any sort of kindness that would be given to them. So much so that they started to protect their captors. They had this weird thing that took place where they started to respond to them differently, to the point that they actually avoided rescue. They refused to testify against the bank robbers on the stand. One of the ladies got engaged to one of the men who took her hostage while he was in prison. We say, that's sick. That's twisted. Why would they do that? And yet, oftentimes, when we look at our life of sin, and we keep playing in the sin, we keep going with it, it's something that we can look at in our lives and say, it's okay, it's fine. Why? Because we used to live in these perverted ways, and any goodness we saw that as, well, there was this pleasure, there was this thing with it, it's okay. And all of a sudden, we have this twisted relationship with sin. God wants us to break from that. He wants us to leave the sin behind. And remember Lot's wife, who when she looked longingly back at the place of destruction of sin, she was frozen. If you keep looking back, you're going to stay frozen in that spot, but God has not called you to stay. No, God has called you to move forward and to be sanctified. So we have to leave it behind. Pastor, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked the question. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 in the Passion Translation says this. He says, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds, like we were talking about earlier in the message today. So we must let go. Everybody shout at me, let go. Thank you. I needed that reminder. We must let go of every wound that has pierced us. And the sin we so easily fall into. I want you to notice something. Right there, the Bible just said sin is easy. It's easy to go back. It's easy to think the wrong thought. It's easy to look at the wrong thing. It's easy to say the wrong thing. It's easy to do the wrong thing. We just slip into it. Why? Because it's comfortable to the flesh and it's familiar. And so don't put yourself down or beat yourself up because you struggle with sin. Listen, we're all there. I may be anointed to preach this, but I'm no more anointed to live this than you are. We all are in a fight. That shows us that sanctification is going to be hard. It's going to be an uphill battle. But notice what the next sentence says. It says, then we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out for us. Who marked out the path? Thank you for that Sunday school answer. What lives in the forest and eats berries? Jesus, right? I'm glad you guys like the joke. First service didn't like the joke at all. They were like, you guys are my people. Who marked out the path for us? Jesus marked out the, see, he ran the race. He suffered in his flesh. He was tempted as we are in all points, yet was without sin. He showed us it can be done. You can overcome by the power of God. Again, how do we do this? Verse 2, we look away from the natural realm. And we focus our attention and expectation onto who? Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward, not back into sin. No, he leads us out of sin. He leads us out of Egypt into the promised land. He leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice the example of Jesus. Jesus was focused on you. That means that when you're going through temptation, challenges, and trials, you focus on Him, and He will carry you through. You got to look away from this world. See, the problem is when you focus on sin, you're going to be drawn to it. But if you focus on Jesus, you're going to be drawn to Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. What did we learn today? We learned that we shouldn't sin because we're dead to it. And death changes our relationship to sin. So we need to live like a changed person and leave the sin behind. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Let's take a minute in the presence of God. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit, God, what are you speaking to me? No one getting up, no one leaving during this time. Come on, church is not done yet. What is God speaking to you? Just ask the Holy Spirit that question and then listen for His voice. It doesn't take long for God to speak. You might have heard a gentle whisper in your heart. Maybe you never heard the voice of God before. But today you say, wow, I think I had a scripture that popped up. Maybe there was a word, might have been a phrase or a sentence. Sometimes God gives us pictures, visual images in our minds and in our hearts that we can see and know what God is speaking to us through that image. Maybe it's putting away the bottles. Maybe it's draining them in the sink today when you get home, because they've been dragging you down. You might be throwing away the weed. Maybe it's getting rid of paraphernalia, magazines, websites. It might be losing someone's number. Maybe it's asking for forgiveness. Beautiful scriptures, 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you need to take a moment, just confess it to God. You don't have to say it out loud. God can hear your thoughts. Ask for His forgiveness. And by faith, just receive His cleansing flow of righteousness. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Now it's time to leave it behind and to live like a changed person. Father, we thank You, Lord, for birthing faith in us and lead us into faith's perfection. We know that we're not perfect this side of heaven, but God, that You're cleaning us up. You're sanctifying us. And for that, God, we give You thanks and we give You praise. In Jesus' name. Every agreement said, amen. One last time, I'm going to ask no one to get up, no one to leave during this time, because the most important part of the service for many in this place today, you are separated from God. Spiritually, you're dead. You know what? There's a void on the inside of you. You can feel it. You're not experiencing the life of God like you know you could. Some of you came to this place today seeking that connection with God. If I could just get to church, I'm going to find God in church. Today, God is speaking to you right now. And you need to listen up. Because you don't get saved and get connected with God and go to heaven at the end of all this just by being good. You can't be good enough. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You can't have that connection with God just by sitting in a church service. Sometimes people think, if I just make it to church, if I just watch one online, that'll connect me to God. You know, there's people that sit in church that are disconnected. People that aren't going to make it to heaven. We think everybody going to church going to heaven, not the case. There's going to be a segment of the church population that does not make it. Sometimes you think, but I was raised in church. My parents told me we were Christians growing up. Maybe they just took you to religious classes or hung religious jewelry on your neck. Maybe as an adult, you got a t-shirt that said Jesus or a tattoo with the scripture. None of that's going to get you into heaven. There's no default setting because you're not some other religion or because you're born in America or born in a Christian home. You get to go to heaven. That's not going to make it. And today, I'm loving enough, respecting enough, and honoring enough to tell you the truth and not play games. Some of you might think, but Pastor, I got involved in my last church. I didn't just sit. I helped out. Got a membership card. That's great. God's not looking for your volunteer hours or a membership card to a church before you can enter the gates of heaven. But I know God. Isn't that enough? No, because the devil knows who he is. The devil can quote scriptures. He's not going to heaven. Demons believe and they tremble. Why? Because their belief is a mental acknowledgement. It's not a heartfelt faith. See, Jesus said it like this. He said, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. See, we talked about death today. We've got to die to sin, but then we have to be born again to God. That doesn't happen because you came to church. It doesn't happen because you, even sometimes people say, I said that prayer. Listen, it's not just rote words. It's not just repeating a prayer that gets you right with God. Jesus said, you must be born again, because there are people that say that prayer and then they live like the devil. Think they got fire insurance or something like that, you know? Get out of hell free card. It doesn't work like that. You can say a prayer and not live for God. Because God listens to your prayer and then he watches your life to see if it follows. And if not, you're still living separate from God. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. It's not just about getting people to respond to a call and raise your hand and count you as a number. Oh, they prayed the prayer and that's it. No, no, there's a life to be lived. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. What does that mean? That means that every day you're continuing that surrender. And even if you mess up, like we talked about, you get up, you dust off, you repent, you turn from your sin, and you keep following God. You're committed for the rest of your life to follow Jesus. Whether I mess up or don't, doesn't matter. I'm following. I'm going to keep going with God. See, that's the fruit that you'll see of somebody who's been born again, is that they're not backing off God in their lifetime. They might go through seasons, might go through plateaus, but I'm going to keep going even if I don't feel it. I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to be sanctified, because there's coming a day that I'm going to be perfected. Wow. You, in this place, need to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. You want to be reconnected with the life of God and come out of that deadness that you're in right now. Here's how. You must be born again. What does that mean? It means you've surrendered all of your heart and life to Jesus. When you said yes to Jesus, you make a commitment. And the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And that's that starting point that we talked about, where you live your life wholehearted for him for the rest of your days. Because in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, hot or cold, if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit from my mouth. What's he saying? He's saying in or out, either you is or you ain't, but you can't do both. You got to make a choice. And today I want to encourage you to choose life. Choose God. Choose today to say, I want to be connected with God. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Hey, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're saying, I want to give God all my heart. I want to give God all my life. Be born again, head for heaven and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You can put it right back down. See, but I'll be embarrassed if you do that. Maybe. But think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than just end up in hell forever? No one would make that trade. If you landed in hell, you'd raise both arms, both legs, your own or a flagpole if you could. But there's no exits in hell. And the Bible says it's appointed for man once to die and then at the judgment. You're not coming back as a dog or a frog in your second shot at life. You've got one life to live. You've got this life. And you've got one moment, this moment, guaranteed to you. We don't know what could happen tomorrow. We're all one accident, one incident, one virus, one bomb, one breath away from eternity. Like I said, this past week's been a difficult week. We had an 18-year-old die. We did a funeral for a 28-year-old and for an 88-year-old. See, it doesn't matter what season of life you're in. It could happen at any moment. Jesus could come back at any time. No man knows the day or the hour, but we do know the times and the seasons, and he's coming soon. I'll tell you that right now, and you need to be ready. You need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. Don't worry about what other people think. I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, people will see you. That's okay. Listen, they've all done this at one time or another. No one's ashamed of you. We're all sinners in need of a Savior, just like you, all right? We're all in the same boat. We all had to do this, and man, people are praying for you right now. People love you. We're going to celebrate you, not going to put you down. There's no condemnation, criticism, or judgment, just the love of God and the acceptance of God right now. Bring him your mess. Don't wait to get cleaned up and then come to God. No, you come to God, he'll clean you up from the inside out. Who should raise your hand in a moment? If you've been running from God and said it to God, I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Make sure today. Who should raise your hand? You've never done this before. Come on, today. It's your day of salvation. Or finally, who should raise your hand if you're lukewarm, half-hearted? Get ready to get your hands up. Hands are already getting ready to go up. On the count of three, pop my hand on the microphone. You know who you are. On the count of three. One, two, three. You see your hands, just raise them up high. There's one. Thank you. There's two over here. Gotcha. There's three and four. Five up top. Six right here. Yeah. Thank you. Seven. Eight way in the back. I got you. Nine over here in the back of this row. 10 up on top. Gotcha. 11 up on top on this side. 12 right here. Yeah. Thank you. God bless you. Gotcha. Who else today? There's 12 wise people already. I got you right there. Thank you. If I saw your hand, you can put it down. 13. Yeah. Thank you for the wave. Appreciate that. Helps me to see. Anybody else? Anybody else? There's 13 wise people. 14 and 15 right here. Got some little hands. That's okay. 16 right. Yeah, I got you. I got you. All right. Who else today? 17 and 18 right there. Yeah. Got you. They're pointing in the back. Where you at? Ah, got you right there. Yeah. 19. 19 right there. 20 right here. Oh, 20 and 21. Excellent. Fantastic. Best decision of your life right there. Anybody else? Come on, you need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. Let's minimize distractions. Please respect what the Holy Spirit's doing right now. Not the time to get up and walk out, okay? Unless there's an emergency, we understand that. But if you can stay seated, stay seated, okay? The Spirit is drawing people right now. 22, way up top, got you. 22. It's excellent. Best decision of your life right there. 22 wise people. Anybody else? Just want to give you another moment. If your heart's beating out of your chest, you broke out in a sweat and wish I'd shut up, God might be trying to talk to you. Take a deep breath. Relax and consider your life. Where would you be if today was your last day? If you don't know or you know that you wouldn't make it, come on, make a choice today to choose life. Be connected. You know that void's there. You've been disconnected from God too long. Anybody else? Anybody else are you seeing? You talking to me, Pastor? I'm talking to you. Yeah. God's got your number. He knows where you're at. If that's you, come on. Anybody else? Last call. We're going to wrap this up. About 21 or 22 wise people. Anybody else? All right, let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Again, no one leave during this time. Let's respect the Holy Spirit's move as he draws people to himself. Remember, if you believe with your heart and confess through your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. I'm going to lead you in that confession right here at the altar. If you raise your hand, or you should have raised your hand, why don't you get out of your seat, get your stuff, whatever you brought with you to church. Parents, bring your children. If they raise their hand, or children, if your parents raise their hand, come with them right now. Get your family. If you need a friend, get a friend. Get in the aisle. Meet us up front right now. Come on down. Come on down. Come on, they're coming. They're coming. Whole families are coming right now. Come on. Let's give it up for them. From the family rooms, if you need to come. From the foyer. If you're out there in the sound of my voice, come on back. From the breezeways. If you're listening right now and you need to come into this sanctuary, just come on right now. Come on right now. Hallelujah. They're coming. They're still coming. Come on. They're still coming. You can come too. Even if you didn't raise your hand, but you need to come, just come right now. Come on. Church, nudge your neighbor. Say, come on, friend. If you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring them. Bring them right now. They're still coming. Else, come on. Come on, if you need to come, just come right now. Come on down. Come on down right now. Anybody else, let's keep it going from church. Let's encourage them. Come on. If you need to come, just come. Hallelujah. Well, hey, everybody up front, put a big smile on your face. This is the best decision of your entire life right here, right now. Came to give God all of your heart, came to give God all of your life. I want to encourage you, there's no commitment worth anything without consistency. And so as you're praying this prayer, remember, you're saying, I'm going to give God my life. From this day on, I'm following Jesus. That's what you're saying. And we want to encourage you and help you. So keep coming to church. Keep pressing into God. Keep praying. Prayer is just talking with God. Just like I'm talking to you right now, you can talk to God. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for today. Can you help me? God, I've got questions. Would you give me answers? Man, get into the Bible. Read his word. You don't have to read the whole thing in a day. It's a pretty thick book. Have you noticed? You don't have to read that whole thing in a day. My goodness, take a chapter, take a verse, get something that speaks to you. Chew on it and learn it and grow in it each and every day. Principle by principle, build it into your lives. Those thoughts in mind, I'm going to lead you in a prayer to invite Jesus in your heart. You're going to be born again. Everybody in the room is going to join in together with you and repeat this out loud just to encourage you. So if you hear them praying, you're like, are they getting saved too? Listen, they're just encouraging you, all right? Focus on God right now. And even online, if you're giving your heart to the Lord, you can repeat this prayer. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and everybody say this out loud together in faith. Say, Father God, I come to you today in Jesus' name. I give you all my heart and all my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past. And give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and lead me for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you. Now, listen, When I got saved, I needed some help. I needed a friend to encourage me. And you need that in your life as well. This is my friend, Pastor Joel, waving at you. Really good guy. Nothing weird's going to go on, okay? He wants to give you some free information, find out what just happened, what to do next in your walk with God. We've got some stuff for the children, okay, that will help encourage them. As well, he wants to connect you with a faith-filled friend that's going to walk with you in life. He'll describe how that works. It's easy. It's free, okay? And you need to do it. But my goodness, we're here to help. We're not wanting to push you down. We're wanting to build you up, okay? So take a couple minutes with Pastor Joel right this way. Your friends and family will wait for you, and your kids, if they're in the children's ministry, they're safe, okay? Make a left turn. Follow Pastor Joel right this way. Come on, let's give him a hand as they go. Come on, church, let's give the Lord a great big praise. Hallelujah. So good, so good, so good. Well, hey, family, tonight at 6 o'clock, we've got a different church service for you guys. The Spirit of God's leading us to pray as seasons are changing. And some of you guys are in transitional seasons. We want to pray for you tonight. We've got an exhortation for you. Some of you guys going back to school, students in the place, we want to pray for you guys as well as teachers, all right? And so we're going to pray as we prepare to go into this next school year and that sort of a thing. But also just if you're in a transitional life, maybe you got a new job, maybe you're an empty nester or something like that. There's some sort of a seasonal change in your life. They're going to pray for that tonight. The Spirit of God is going to be moving in the place. So come on out, join us, bring someone with you, 6 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. Can I bless you as you go? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Father, these are your people. They're called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
What a blessing. Let's hear God's word this afternoon. If there's anybody in need of prayer, someone talk to you.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.